I was talking with, looking at different things, and my daughter, we were talking with the girls, and Elizabeth said, "Child, come here." And Emery looked and said, "I'm not a child, I'm a big girl." Well, what I really got a kick out of there is, in watching the girls and listening to conversations today, I wanted to talk about the heart of children today. And so what I'd like to start by doing is getting from y'all what you perceive as some attributes of children. That'll work. So what are some attributes of children?
Trust.
Okay. And by the way, I have terrible handwriting and spelling, so laugh along with me as we write this up here. What's another one? Simplicity. S-I-N? All right, simplicity. All right. Selfishness. Okay. Inquisitive. Pull that one for me. I-V-E. Hey, there we go. Okay. Inquisitive. What else? Well, we're looking on both sides of the spectrum here. Energetic. That one goes in the middle. Ian, thank you. See? You know, the word I've always had trouble spelling all my life was the word school. I could never remember how to spell it. I went, do you leave the E on or do you take it off? It's always been a mental roadblock for me. Yes. They like to have fun. Okay. Always working to have fun. Okay, what else? What? They're always thinking about right now, right? So in the moment is a good one. What else? There's a lot of them out there. You got trusting, simplicity. What are some other attributes? Come on. What? Say constantly testing, right? Constantly testing. Another way to look at that is they're constantly checking their boundaries, right? Purity. Innocent. What else? Disobedience. Yes. What else? There's some fun ones out there. I know every one of you has got 9 million stories to tell. I am in. See, this is not a spelling bee, so. What's a mother to do? See, this is my opportunity to really embarrass my mother, so. And I don't even have to try. This is grace. No effort required. Embarrassing. That's it. And I don't even have to try. Creative. That can go in the middle, too. Unfortunately, my Donna is very creative about how she gets in trouble. Yes. Loving. Bingo. Okay. You know, an antonym to selfishness would be that they can be very kind. And with just without even thinking about it, they can... Okay? What else? Open. Mommy, why is that man fat? But yeah, I mean... It can be very blunt, but open, yeah. You know, it's... And that is a very key word, actually. Very open. So, why is that person so short, Mommy? I said that one time to a fellow who was about this tall, and he turned around immediately and said, "Son, I didn't drink my milk." And my eyes got about that big around. So, I think I was about 4 years old. We were going through ACB, and my mother was ready to crawl into her purse. So, what else? Impressionable. Yeah. I have to write something. I like to double letters. So, if there's a double letter and it's not needed, well, it's going to be there anyway. All right, what else? There's a lot of them out there. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and run with this list for now. Oh, teachable. Pliable, okay. We'll go with teachable. Okay. They're straining at the bit. I mean, I don't know. Impatient. Yeah, I mean, it's a negative and a positive, you know, solve this problem right now. Put that one in the middle. Okay, if you'll turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. They're very forgiving. And I'm immediately going to edit what I just said about 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to step back a little bit. We're going to stay in 1 Kings. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 2 to start. Verses 1 through 3. And I'll go ahead and set this up a little bit. David is dying. And in this time, whenever the kings were around in Israel, it was very common for the king, when he became at a certain age, he would choose his heir, and he would make him a co-regent. That's one of the things we were studying in the Bible study recently, that he would make his son a co-regent with him and begin to instruct him in the ways of the kingdom, so that the king wouldn't just pass away and then suddenly hand the baton off to his son, and his son be going, now what do I do? So he would kind of jump him along with him. So David has already selected Solomon as king, but Solomon's kingdom is not founded yet, because there's so much turmoil right now with the other sons wanting to be king. But David has something very special for Solomon. He gives Solomon a charge. It says, when the time drew near for David to die, he gave charge to Solomon. I'm about to go away. I'm about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So be strong. Show yourself a man and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways and keep his decrees and demands and his laws and requirements, as is written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. So David has laid out his charge to Solomon. He's had a little bit of an opportunity to teach him. So he has shared with Solomon the very desire of his heart. And for parents to share that with their children, that is such a necessary thing to do. There are so many people out there who do not have their parents share their heart with them and said, this is my desire for you. You know, David didn't get up there and say, I want you to be a lawyer. You know, Solomon already knew his future. I don't want you to be a doctor. I want you to be a doctor, or I want you to be an artist. Solomon already knew where he was going. So David just says, I want you to just honor the Lord. That is my desire. If you did nothing else, this is what I want you to do. So now we go to chapter 3, and David is dead. And let's see here. All right, we'll go to verse 3. It says, Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar at Gibeon. And the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now here's kind of the thesis for where I'm going here. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people. You have chosen a great people too numerous to count for or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was very pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you have asked for. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will have never been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands as David your father did, I will give you long life. Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, and then he gave a feast for all his court. Now I'm going to step all the way back to kind of the beginning of this chapter where he's making his sacrifices. And, you know, as children are very observant. they will sit and they'll watch very closely what their fathers did before them. And if you go back real quick with me to 2 Samuel chapter 24, and I'll just read through it here real quickly and give you some of the highlights. David has just finished being punished by the Lord. He had amassed 1.8 million fighting men over his time as king. And the way the Lord brought that to his attention was, he brought a prophet to him and he said, count your fighting men. And it took 9 months. And altogether they found 1.8 million. And immediately David realized he had done something wrong and he was grieved. And so God gave him an option. This kind of, it reminds me so much of, you know, my parents and parents in general are saying, all right, you can either get the switching at the woodshed, or you can be confined to your room for a week. And God gave him three options. And he said, you can either suffer plague for 3 days, be chased by man, your armies be defeated for 3 months, and then he gave him a third option of riots in the streets and turmoil. And so David's option was, don't let me fall into the hands of man. I will choose to fall into your hands, O Lord. So God said, there will be 3 days of plague. And just in one army alone, 70,000 men perished from this plague. And David was heart-stricken. And so he went up, and he needed to go make a sacrifice to the Lord, to beg on his people's behalf and on his own behalf to the Lord. So he decides to build an altar. And he says, on that day, Gad went to David and said to him, go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arunah, the Jebusite. So David went up as the Lord had commanded through Gad. And when Arunah, he looks up and sees King David coming, he immediately bowed down before him. And Arunah says, what can I do for your lordship? And David says, I want to build an altar here. And Arunah goes, oh, this land is here. And furthermore, I want to give you these options. And this is what David's response was. I will not sacrifice to my Lord that which costs me nothing. And that is a very, very profound statement. He says, I won't just have this sacrifice cost me nothing. It is a sacrifice. This is going to come out of my pocket because this is my passion for the Lord. This is what I need to do. So David bought this threshing floor from Arunah, and he bought the oxen, and he made this sacrifice, and the Lord accepted this sacrifice and stopped the plague. What's really interesting, this is a little footnote to history, if you go forward, that's where the Temple of Solomon was later built, is right there. God was very pleased with all that was done there. So this is what Solomon has had to look at all of his life. This is the kind of man he's dealt with. The wisdom and the love for the Lord. So Solomon has these big shoes to fill to this passion for the Lord. And so that's where Solomon is following this. He knows exactly what he needs to do to please the Lord. And God said, I will give you riches beyond belief. I will give you wisdom. And if you follow in my footsteps, I will also give you a long life. So he has that addendum in there. He's not going to just make that a natural process there. It's, if you follow my footsteps, I'll give you a long life. But the key verse in 1 Kings chapter 3 is, he says, I am only a little child, and I do not know how to carry out my duties. And I love working with Donna, my little 3 and 4-year-old. Here you go, sweetheart, let me do that for you. I know how to do it, Daddy. And then she proceeds to put it in wrong or put it in upside down. My 4-year-old declared the other day that she knew how to speak Chinese, French, German, and English. And I was very impressed because I hadn't taught her these things. But she insisted that she knew these things and she was going to go on and, you know, do her own little thing. So those are the attributes, some of the natural attributes of a child, which are, I'm going to know my way and I'm going to go on about life. But Solomon recognized, I know so little. I have been trained since birth and taught since birth, but compared to what I need to know, God, I know nothing. And so the important thing, and this is a verse that I think a lot of you can fill in the blank, and that is, God, or man looks on the outside, but God looks on the, he looks on the heart, on the inside. And Solomon was making, declaring very much his heart. His heart was ready to be pliable. It was pure, it was innocent, it was loving, it was open, it was impressionable, and he was ready for God to teach him. And so he was just totally available to have God do what he would. And immediately, I mean, we just see just right around the corner of chapter 3 how he deals with those two prostitutes and the baby. And the whole world was immediately amazed at his wisdom. Mark chapter 10, verse 15, states very clearly too how what kind of heart we should have. And Jesus is being pressed in upon from all sides. And his disciples are holding them back, saying, look, the master is tired of just being touched. You know, these are people who are wiping their nose and coughing and sick, and then they're reaching out and grabbing him, and they're going, this is disgusting, just step back. And then they're bringing their little children to him, and his children just want to be around him, and just, it's even hard to breathe because there's so many people pushing in on him, and the disciples are pushing back. And Jesus says, stop right there. Do not stop the little children from coming to me. Because he immediately sees, I mean, we see the outside of man and we shudder. Jesus, I mean, how many times have you ever said, if you to your friend or to your spouse, if you only knew what my thoughts were, you'd be disgusted with me. I mean, just, you know, because you realize your process, your thought process that goes behind your mind, and you go, oh, that's so sick, I can't believe I just thought that, or I can't believe how hateful that thought was, or how angry that was. Well, for Jesus, he sees those thought processes. So how much more tired would he be when he sees all this pressing in on him? But then he has this refreshing children when their attitude is they just want to be near Jesus and they want to love him and see who this man is. And so how refreshing is that for him? So he's got to change the mindset of his disciples. He says, hold it. I want them near me. And so he says, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the arms of the little children, took the children in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. So we see in the Old Testament how God recognized Solomon's attitude in his heart, which was pure, it was open, it was inquisitive. I mean, you can go down the list and there's probably 1,000 more things we could add to this. And Solomon wasn't saying in a positive way, I'm like a child. Whenever he's talking to the Lord, he's saying, I am like a child. I am selfish. I'm disobedient. You know, he says, I'm also willing to be there. But he's just talking about all the attributes that are out there. And I was mentioning this to Mom, and Mom had a great statement. She goes, well, if Solomon was so wise, how come he went and did the things that he did? You know, because he had everything going for him. He had the wealth, the riches, the wisdom. You know, there's so many people who have the riches but not the wisdom, or the wisdom but not the riches. He had everything going for him, and yet he chose to make all those mistakes. And that's really the key word. It says that Solomon had the ability to determine from right from wrong. He knew what was right. He knew what was wrong. So when Solomon later on went and chose to have all those gods and those temples set up everywhere, he knew that that was wrong. He had that discernment, and he chose to do what was wrong. It wasn't that he just kind of went along with the flow here. God had already blessed him with that discernment. And after the death and resurrection of Christ, God blessed us with the Holy Spirit, the ability to discern right from wrong with the Holy Spirit in our lives. What's amazing is we are aware of what is wrong, and yet we still choose to do it. And so I know so many people, including myself, especially myself, who go, oh, if I had what Solomon had, I would not have done the things that he did. Well, you know, the thing is, we have the things that Solomon had. God blessed us here with the Holy Spirit. He blessed us with wisdom. He blessed us with grace. And it says very clearly in the scripture that let any of you who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously, and he will give it to you. So we have these things at our fingertips. We carry no excuse whenever we see what is wrong and we see what is right, and we still choose to do what is wrong. But the heart that God says that he looks for is, he looks for the heart of the child. I'm actually going to cut it short here today because that's the main point that I wanted to get across. The fact that God has laid out for us something so wonderful. You know, we constantly say, you know, look to the Father, but look to the family to understand the relationship that God would want to have with us. And hey, if I want to learn more about the Lord, I just watch my children. And I watch how the Lord would want me to respond to them. So these are just kind of some of the things that God has been laying on my heart lately. I wanted to share those with you all this morning. This is just, I mean, it's really the tip of the iceberg on this subject. You could get into so many things. I got into this logo, it's Bible software, and I type it in there, and just in the Hebrew alone, there's 15 different ways to say the word child. And each one has a different meaning. And then you get into the Greek, and there's 12 different ways. And in one verse, it's used three different ways, several places. So you can, there's so much depth you can get into here. So we're just getting, just scratching the surface of the concept of the heart and what the Lord would have us to do. But I appreciate you you guys talking with me about it some more. I've got a lot to learn on the subject, as do we all. And I'd love to discuss this throughout the weeks. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. God, I don't have the heart of a child that I need to have. And Father, I sometimes wonder what the picture is that I'm supposed to look like when I'm finished. Lord, I pray that you help me to become the child that you already know me to be. The picture, the finished picture that you see is not quite what I am yet. I just pray that you would bless our time, Lord, that we would be inquisitive for your word, that we would be open to you, to your molding, that we would be loving and patient, and Lord, that you would truly help our hearts to become pliable like children. Help us not to harden our hearts, but to constantly be available and open to your tutelage, Father. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.